You hear it all the time. The trend is your friend. And while there's no doubt that trend trading strategies and filtering can help improve overall performance, we also wanted to challenge the conventional wisdom when it comes to directional option selling strategies. So we did some backtesting and took some basic option selling strategies and applied a simple long-term trend filter to see if it helped or hurt the performance of the strategy. And for good measure, we spread the testing across three major asset classes, testing SPY, TLT, and GLT.
You're listening to the Option Alpha podcast from OptionAlpha.com, where we show you how to make smarter trades, learn how the stock market really works, and generate consistent monthly income. Now, your host and head trader at OptionAlpha.com, Kirk Duplessis.
Hey everyone, this is Kirk here again from Option Alpha, working every single week to make this the most popular investing podcast offered online because it's based on one thing and one thing only, and that's helping you consistently place smarter trades. So thank you so much again for tuning in today and welcome back. We've got a really cool episode here where we're talking about trend trading filters and if applying a very simple trend filter can improve directional option selling strategies. So what do we mean by this with directional option selling strategies? We're talking about selling put spreads and selling call spreads. Those are directional selling strategies. You could say they're kind of semi non-directional. You do sell them out of the money, so you can let the market trade sideways and they still work out. But a lot of people love trading directional option selling strategies. They'll sell a credit put spread that's far out of the money and hope that the market stays at the same level or continues to go higher. Or they'll sell a credit call spread and hope that the market stays at the same level or drifts lower. And so these directional option selling strategies are really popular because people feel like they can kind of lean into a direction that the market might be moving. Now, what a lot of people do is they don't apply any other filters on top of this. And while in many cases that could work out for different strategies, depending on how you test them, what we wanted to do in today's show was really challenge the conventional wisdom around adding a very simple trend filter. And so the whole concept around today's show is, can we take these basic option selling strategies and test not only just the basic strategy itself with no trend filter, but then apply a simple trend filter to those strategies and see if the performance was helped or hurt by applying a trend filter. So that's what we're going to go through today. As always, we've got all of the graphs, all of the stats, everything for you on the show notes page. Just head on over to optionalpha.com/show226. Again, that is where you will get all of the information, all of the graphs, all the charts for everything we go through here today, right from backtesting. You'll see everything so you can take a look at it yourself if you're more of a visual person. You don't like that I go through it and explain it on the podcast, but I'll try my best to explain what we see on the graph and how things kind of compare and contrast. And hopefully at the end of this episode, you'll get a lot out of it that maybe you might want to start applying or testing in your own trading strategy. Okay, so first of all, let's set the baseline for what we're doing here. Of course, because we're doing backtesting, this doesn't mean that it's going to be the same way moving forward in the future. So it's not an indicator of performance and things could obviously change. So let's set that groundwork here first. The next thing is we could actually test a lot more, but in this case, we did it to make it simple for you guys and not to have this podcast be 26 hours long. We wanted to test a very simple option strategy across all the different tickers that we did for this particular test. Now, of course, you're not limited to just doing this. You can test as much as you want, and I encourage you to across different tickers or different types of strategies or different setups of strategies. But the basic strategy that we tried and tested out was a 45-day to expiration option selling strategy. This was both when we tested put spreads and call spreads, so short out of the money put spreads, those are credit put spreads, and short out of the money credit call spreads. In both cases, across the board for GLD, TLT, and SPY, the entire time we tested 45-day to expiration trades, and then we were selling options at the 30 delta for the short strike and buying the 15 delta long strike. So this was an attempt to not only sell options, of course, out of the money, but to try to standardize the testing as much as possible. So we weren't doing $1 wide spreads because that doesn't really work well on something that maybe is a little bit higher price like S&P versus GLD, right? So we tried to standardize it by selling the short strike at a 30 delta and buying the long strike across the board at a 15 delta. This is, again, both for short put spreads and for short call spreads. So 45 days to expiration, it's about a month and a half out, and selling the short delta at 30, buying the long delta at 15. Now, in all of these cases, also, we started with a $5,000 account across the board. We also did sequential trading, which means that we didn't overlap trades. We did everything one by one. So one trade at a time, only one trade. When that trade was done, then if the criteria were still met to make a trade, it would enter a new trade. If the bot ran out of money, it would run out of money. If it didn't run out of money, it would keep trading, etc. And so we tested that across the board. So we're really trying to standardize everything as much as possible. The last thing that we did, and this is the only little tweak to a standard strategy, but I think it makes sense to do it because we've done a lot of testing on this anyway, is we took profits across the board at 50% of our initial credit or exited the position one day before expiration. So we did let it go the whole way. We did not include a stop loss. We did not take any stop losses on positions or trades. And we included a very simple generic profit-taking level of 50%. So if the premium ever dropped 50% from the initial credit, we would take the trade off early, and then again, it would try to recycle capital and enter a new position and keep trading. So we know that that generally works across the board, so we've implemented that as our core strategy. So if that makes sense, let me just recap again. I know it's really important to go through this because if you get the frame set of what we're trying to do here and what we're comparing, it helps as we go through this podcast and as you start to think about it in your own trading. Again, we tested short put spreads, then we tested short call spreads, and the baseline scenario for both short put spreads and short call spreads was 45 days to expiration, 30 delta, 15 delta, taking the position off if you reached a 50% profit, if not, held to basically expiration. Okay. Now, here's what we did in all of these cases, and you can see them on the podcast show notes page, again, optionalpha.com/show226. You can see this, but the base case scenario in all of the charts that we have up there is the A scenario. So A version is the base case scenario, test number A. That is the green line on all the charts that you'll see. And then test number B is the altered version, which includes the trend filter. And so test number B on all the charts you'll see is in blue. So this way you can visually see, okay, A was the base scenario, B was the altered scenario. And we'll give you guys all the stats on this and everything inside the show notes. But if you visually see it, you can say, okay, did B improve A, or did A was still A the winner, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. So that's what we did. Now, the last thing, I know there's a lot of like setup for this thing, but it's really important. The last thing that we did for including a trend filter is we simply did a trade the trend is your friend filter. That's it. And what that means is that the filter we included, for example, with a short put spread, was we tested just, and the A scenario on a short put spread was always sell a short put spread, no matter what. I mean, as long as it had capital, right? Just continuously sell it up, down, left, sideways, no filter, no technicals, no nothing, just religiously and consistently sell short put spreads. When we applied a trend filter, for example, with selling short put spreads, what we said is we tested the ability to only sell a short put spread when the symbol's price was above the 200-day moving average. So this really stress tests the idea of, is the trend your friend? And basically the idea of trading the trend or trade the direction, however you want to call it. There's 10,000 ways to say that, that people say it all over the place anyway. But basically just testing, should we trade the direction of the trend? So if the market is in a downtrend, that would be judged by the symbol's price being below its 200-day moving average, then we should stop selling put spreads until the symbol's price starts trading above the 200-day moving average. And then if it starts trading above the 200-day moving average, then keep selling put spreads until the symbol's price ever dips below the 200-day moving average. So that is what we did. We basically said, okay, we're going to implement a trend filter so that on short put spreads, we would only sell short put spreads in the B version, the testing version, when the symbol's price is above its long-term 200-day moving average. Now, when it comes to call spreads, we did the same thing, but in reverse. So when we were testing selling short call spreads, which is a bearish strategy, we said, hey, you know what? We want the trend to be our friend here, right? That's what we wanted to do. So we would only sell in the tested version, like the alternate version, version B, we would only sell short call spreads when the symbol's price was below the 200-day moving average. So again, if the symbol was in a downtrend, yes, go ahead, start selling call spreads. If the symbol was not in a downtrend and was in an uptrend, do not start selling call spreads, hold cash, don't do anything, no trades, etc. It's a really interesting concept when you take a step back and think about it. It's logically, obviously makes a lot of sense. And there's a lot of research that shows that it does improve trading and performance on equity positions, on equity portfolios, right? Trend trading. I know there's a lot of ETFs and funds that are literally built on trend trading strategies. So it is a viable factor and option that you can choose. And so we just want to test it as it related to options trading. Like when it comes to options trading, when you add that, not little wrinkle, but probably big wrinkle of options trading, does it potentially hold true? Now, that being said, we only tested across three symbols, one variation. So there's a lot more here. We're definitely not going to be the judge to say like 100% yes, 100% no, but I think we found some interesting stuff that might be helpful for you as you move forward. All right, so let's get into the actual data and research of different strategies now that you know how we did this. Again, all of this will be available at the show notes page, optionalpha.com/show226. That way you can get charts and graphs and stats and everything that your little backtesting heart desires. Okay, so first one that we're going to go through is we're going to go through GLD and we're going to go through the short put spread comparison. So this is comparing just a regular standard short put spread all the time in GLD versus a short put spread with a trend filter. Now, when you look at the chart of this one, you'll see that they jive a lot. Like there's not a significant difference between these two strategies, but the tested version, testing B, I guess you can say the trend version, I'll just call it that as we move forward. So the trend trading version of this did have a lot of periods where it held cash. You can visually see this on the chart because a lot of times the chart goes flatline in its P&L and return on capital because it's not trading, it's holding. And that's during times when GLD was in a downtrend or when its price was below the 200-day moving average. Now, comparing some of the stats back and forth together, actually, in the case of GLD, not implementing a trend trading strategy ended up performing better on a total return on capital basis and also on a CAGR basis, which is a compound annual growth rate, and also on a total P&L and also on a profit factor. It was a lot better across the board for a lot of different things. Now, the one thing I will say, and you can see this, let me just talk these out as we're going through this podcast. If you did not include the trend trading filter, you were looking at a return on capital of 12.4%. If you included a trend trading, it was 2.4%. So a pretty significant difference across there. The difference in P&L was $621 versus $105 with the trend filter. Again, this is a starting account of $5,000. So small positions, one contract at a time. It's clearly not using all of its capital. It's barely using its capital, but we just want to make sure it had enough capital to actually make the trades, right? We're not testing capital efficiency here. We're just testing the raw positions that it was getting into. And profit factor for non-trend was 1.07 and profit factor for trend, like including the trend filter, was 1.01. What I think is the big difference here is when you start looking at the drawdown, which is then kind of factored into the Sharpe ratio as well. So like the volatility, like excess volatility and premium you're getting paid on this, obviously. The max drawdown for non-trend was 42.3%. And you saw it. I mean, you could visually see some pretty wild rips and dips in this strategy. The maximum drawdown for the trend trading version of this was 38.5%. And I gotta say, like, this is what you would probably mostly hear across the board is that when you start looking at trend trading strategies, and we'll see if this holds true for some of the other ones as we go through it. When you start looking at trend trading strategies, what you find is that they don't necessarily have top line capital improvements. Maybe they do in some cases. But what they really shine is they really shine with avoiding the massive drawdowns and reducing the overall volatility of the strategy. And that's what you saw here too. Sharpe ratio for non-trend was 0.07. Sharpe ratio for trend was, with including the trend, was 0.179. So you prove that Sharpe ratio there. When you got to total positions, if you did not include a trend trading filter, then you traded 208 positions with a win rate of 82.7%. When you included the trend filter, naturally less positions, 153 positions, still with a win rate of 82.4%. So these are really good numbers. Max worst loss was about the same, best win a little bit different. Win-loss streak was about the same, so you really didn't see significant differences here. So as far as like consistency metrics go, wins, losses, etc., you ended up having about the same like overall win rate, overall consistency metrics, variance between max win and max loss. I mean, these were pretty consistent across the board. So where this one really differed was really in the maximum drawdown. Okay, let's now switch over and look at the GLD short call spread scenario here and see if it improved with selling short call spreads. Now remember, base case scenario is scenario A, that's consistently selling short call spreads no matter what, under all conditions, right? As long as the bot had enough capital or backtest had enough capital. And then B scenario was implementing a trend filter. And what that trend filter would do, of course, was that trend filter would only sell short call spreads when the ticker's symbol was below its 200-day moving average. So only sell short call spreads when the ticker symbol was below its 200-day moving average. Now, in this case for GLD and selling short call spreads, implementing a trend filter definitely did help improve the performance of the strategy, only slightly visually on the actual chart. And the reason I say this is because when you get to the end of the actual performance range of this, you saw that the return on capital was actually slightly worse for strategy B. So it was slightly worse for strategy B. But where I think that strategy B actually was an improvement is where it actually didn't stay underwater as long as strategy A stayed underwater. This is where I think visually looking at the chart, seeing the graph and the comparison between the two strategies was super helpful, because strategy number A basically stayed underwater almost the entire time that you traded this. So from basically 2008 all the way to 2023, you really never had, I think, but a blip of time that it was actually profitable. Maybe literally a blip of time, maybe 10 days or so in 2015 was it an actual profitable strategy. Strategy B ended up being less profitable overall, but it spent more of its time above water, and it definitely did not experience the huge, consistent underwater performance of the GLD strategy. Now, when you look at things like profit factor, and you look at things like max drawdown, strategy A still outperformed, which would actually suggest in some cases that that including the trend filter again for the GLD short call spread did not improve the performance of the strategy. And I would say that depending on how you look at it, like and what you really wanted to go through, then I personally think in this case, maybe strategy B, although the metrics at the end were not so favorable, kind of tanked at the end, but for the vast majority of time that you held the strategy, it did better, I would say marginally better than strategy A. It's just the performance at the end really kind of tanked, and that maybe skewed the numbers just a little bit. But max drawdown across the board was pretty bad in both cases. So it was not too fun to sell short call spreads against GLD over the last couple of years. Win rates were pretty high. Strategy B had lower win rates across the board than strategy number A, and significantly less trades. So with no trend filter, you had 208 trades and an 82.2% win rate. When you implemented a trend filter, you had 113 trades, and you can visually see this on the chart too. There was a long period of time where strategy that implementing the trend filter did not trade at all. In fact, basically from 2009 until about 2022, implementing the trend filter created no trading opportunities whatsoever. So you saw that on the chart. It's also reflected in the stats that implementing a trend filter had 113 trades at a 77.9% win rate. So significantly different set of performance and stats for the trend filter and GLD. Okay, so we're through GLD now. That's gold. What we learned so far is we learned that we're definitely seeing maybe a little bit of a difference in obviously the P&L curves and the diagrams of implementing a trend filter, but not yet have we seen a significant outperformance in implementing that trend filter. In the case of GLD, maybe it actually was a detriment to the particular strategy. All right, let's switch over now and look at TLT. Now, TLT is bonds, so we want to test gold, bonds, broad markets, just get a little bit of variation in our testing to make sure we're trying to cover the bases here. You don't want to test every single thing in one particular ticker symbol. That doesn't give you a lot of confidence that it has a lot of pervasiveness in the strategy. And that's what we really want to do, is have strategies that are pervasive across different sectors and industries and different symbols, obviously. So when you look at the chart of, and we'll look at the short put spread comparison here. When you look at the chart of TLT, what you will notice really quick, just this little side note, is that the chart for the B strategy looks like it cuts off at 2000, like a little after 2022. That's because at that point, there was no other trades. Bonds ended up staying the rest of the testing period below their 200-day moving average. So the test basically just stopped at that point, didn't flatline. That's the end. It basically wouldn't have made any other trade. So it looks like it didn't continue, but it did continue. It just, there was no opportunity to make a trade. So when you look at the performance and the comparison of TLT in all time, just continuously sell short put spreads, and then including a trend filter, so only sell short put spreads in bonds when the market is above its 200-day moving average, you do start to see some pretty dramatic differences in the actual performance. And notably in TLT, you get through, again, some pretty long periods where you're not trading. Now, I think this, just to dovetail a little bit on this, I think this is the hardest part about trading for people. And this is why I'm such a fan of automated trading now, is because that if you are trading a strategy and your rules are to not do something if the symbol is below its 200-day moving average, it is exceptionally hard for a trader, a human, a person like you or me, to sit on our hands for years or months at a time and do nothing. Because we find that we might try to look for something that's there that's not. We look for an opportunity because we feel like sitting on our hands is not doing anything, because inactivity is not bad and we should be trading, or there should be something that's available. And so you look at some of these periods where, like, the first real big period was from May of 2009, basically until about May of 2010, an entire year that the trend trading version of this did not make a trade. I don't know about you all, but if you sat on your hands for an entire year, I just don't think you'd be able to do it. I don't know if I would be able to do it, honestly, like manually trading. So this is the benefit of using systematic approach, a mechanical approach, whatever you want to call it, and incorporating some sort of automation into this, because then you don't have to physically sit there and kick yourself or hit yourself in the head thinking, like, should I be trading something? Should I not be trading something for an entire year or more? And that happened multiple times in this scenario. So really, I encourage you to take a look at the show notes, optionalpha.com/show226, and just visually see this and see how many times the B strategy, the trend trading version of this, sat on its hands and did nothing. Okay. When we compare the performance of these two strategies, strategy number A's return on capital for bonds was 22.9. Strategy B was 33.1. Strategy B, in this case, definitely won across the board, pretty much on all metrics. Strategy B, in this case, implementing a trend trading filter, improved performance. So the CAGR comparison was 1.3 versus 1.9 with a trend filter. Maximum drawdown, again, another place that we continue to see trend trading improve the risk of the strategy that we're trading. Maximum drawdown with strategy A, no trend filter, was 18.5%. When you included a trend trading filter, you reduced that max drawdown to 6.6%. That is a significant difference in the performance of the strategy. And I would say psychologically, probably would be a significant difference if you're actually going through it. Profit factor was 1.18 versus 1.53. So you improved it there. Same with Sharpe ratio, 0.10 versus 0.11. So a little bit of improvement. When you come down to the positions, total trades again was significantly lower for the trend trading strategy. So non-trend was 216 with an 86.6% win rate. Trend trading was 134 trades at 88.1%. So you did improve the win rate on that one across the board as well. The winning streak, losing streak, best win, worst loss, again, somewhat in the ballpark. You didn't see significant differences between those. But again, you saw that basically this trend trading filter kept you out of worse trades, ultimately, kept you out of trades that ultimately created a huge drawdown in the portfolio. And improved their performance quite substantially over the testing period. All right, so let's see if this holds true also for now with TLT on the short call spread side. So on the short call spread side, we did the same thing again on your charts that you'll see on the show notes page. Strategy number A is just consistently selling short call spreads. Strategy number B is implementing a trend filter so that we only sell short call spreads if the market is in a downtrend. So here's what we saw. We saw that strategy A's return was negative 21.6%. Strategy B's return was negative 25.9%. So not too much of a difference there. Strategy B did perform worse. CAGR was negative 1.5 versus negative 1.8. So again, a little bit worse. Max drawdown, negative 37.7 versus negative 36. So we did see a little bit of improvement there. That also is reflected in the total max loss of positions, or the maximum worst loss on positions was a little bit lower for the trend trading strategy versus non-trend. Again, significantly more trades were done when you did not have the trend filter. 228 trades at an 82% win rate. And when you included the trend filter, it was 134 trades at a 79.9% win rate. So you actually did worse by including the trend filter in this case. So if you visually see this chart, again, what you see is you see that most of the time they kind of jive very similar together, although strategy A did look like it performed better. So in the case of selling call spreads in TLT, implementing a trend trading strategy or trend trading filter did not really improve performance, actually hurt performance. You saw strategy B actually stay underwater significantly longer than strategy A. Strategy A, no filter, actually had a time period where it was above water and above zero. Didn't last too long, lasted about a year or two, and then it went dip and right dip back down underwater and started to move lower. Okay, so now we've done a couple different versions. So far, we've only seen a little bit of improvement in trend trading filtering, and that's mostly been focused on the short put spread side, short call spread side. We haven't really seen that improvement. Now, next set of tests that we did, these are a little bit different. And the reason I'm going to say that these are a little bit different is because I got a little squirrely and I wanted to test something a little bit different. I did it for SPY just because it's the most fun to do it for SPY, and everyone loves SPY, doing trading stuff on SPY. So this time I did not test two variations. I actually went one step further, tested the same trend trading variation. So that's strategy number B, or test variation number B on your charts when you guys go over to the show notes page. And I also included a third test, which is test number C. So I took one additional test, which I'll go through here in a second, and I did that for number C, or test variation C, which added one additional element. And this is what I think you should do. So I think you should test a baseline scenario. I think that you should incrementally add and change things and see if it improves it, and then keep going. Like, okay, let me change this and change this and change this. Little tweaks as you go. I think too often people test wildly different things and then they don't find anything, or everything they test works. So they're like, it all doesn't work. But test little things at a time. I think that maybe helps out. So here's what we did. Let's go through strategy A and B, just like we've done before, because that's what you guys are used to. That's what I'm used to going through, and see how adding the trend filter had improved or not the performance of a short put spread in SPY. So if you look at the chart, you can visually see there are some pretty major differences between the performance of the graphs, especially towards the lower ends of 2009 through 2012, as well as 2020 through 2022. That's where you see maybe the major differences between these strategies. When you look at the stats, return on capital, strategy A, which again was just consistently, religiously selling short put spreads no matter what, had a 62.2% return on capital, 3.1% compound annual growth rate, and a 39.7% maximum drawdown. So that's pretty significant. I don't think a lot of people would have weathered a 39% drawdown. I say this all the time, but the reality of going through periods like that, and that wasn't the only one. There were multiple drawdowns, multiple big drawdowns. Just the biggest one was 39.7% for that strategy. Now, when you implemented a trend trading filter on a short put spread, out of the money short put spread on SPY, you saw return on capital go to 63.3%. So went down just a little bit. The compound annual growth rate was about the same at 3.1. the maximum drawdown reduced to 24.1%. So this was a much more efficient strategy overall because of the implementation of the trend trading filter. You saw this also with the profit factor going from 1.2 to 1.31. The Sharpe ratio went from 0.18 to 0.27. So pretty much across the board, you saw improvements in all of these performance metrics by implementing the trend trading filter. When you get down to positions, you definitely had less positions, of course, not as many as some of the other strategies where you saw almost half in some cases. Non-trend was 239 positions with an 89.5% win. And when you included the trend trading filter, you went to 191 trades at 90.6%, which is really, really high win rate. I would even say that you could probably start testing variations where you start improving or start stretching your profit targets just a little bit more. Because remember, we're selling 30 delta put spreads. So we should just on its face value have around a 70% probability of success, and then improves with taking profits early at 50%. But it was really, really good. You were trading 90% win rate on your short put spreads when you were including a trend filter. Where you did see some pretty good differences is you did see some pretty good differences in the worst loss. Worst loss went down from 1767 to 1598. Your best win also went down from 355 to 265, probably because you're not selling premium at the depths of the market when in premium was really juicy. So you probably avoided a lot of times where you could have been selling really, really high implied volatility premium because you're just not trading when the markets were on a lower end of their range. So still overall, it looked like in this case for short put spreads, it looked like adding the trend filter helped, which is basically the same thing that we saw for the TLT short put spread position as well. And generally, it's the same thing that we saw for the GLD short put spread position, is that it did improve things like drawdown potentially, right? Did improve some of the win rate metrics. So we consistently see that maybe it does help kind of smooth out the edges, if that's a good way of saying it, okay? Now, in the case of SPY, I want to take it one step further. And I tested another version of this backtest, but I included something different this time because I said, okay, well, like, let's take it one step further. And this is how I do some of my testing, not only just stuff I see that people do, but then also just trying to think through like logically what makes sense, like what's intuitive and would make sense trading. So I said, okay, if we know B worked, like what else could we implement that might improve the performance of our trend trading strategy? And so what I included here was I included not only in test number C, not only is the symbol's price above its 200-day moving average, but I also wanted to test and see if the symbol's RSI, a 14-day RSI, which is a pretty standard relative strength index reading, right? If the symbol's RSI was also below 70. So why did I do this? Well, if the market is in a strong uptrend, and that's judged as the symbol's price being above its long-term moving average, then you probably get in some situations where the market is running really, really high. And the last thing you want to do when trading short put spreads is implement or trade a short put spread right before the market turns over and has a little bit of a drawdown, pullback, retracement, whatever verbiage you want to use there. And so what I thought here is, okay, if we knew that adding the trend filter did help with our short put spread, would also adding a filter that would weed out any entries where RSI is already really high and maybe like ripe for a pullback, then would that also improve performance? So now we're starting to, and I hope if nothing else you get from this podcast, the idea or the concept around just incrementally making these changes to see if they improve performance or not, I think is the most important thing you can do, because that's all we can do as traders is spend our time doing this, thinking logically through, okay, we know the markets are high. Can we cut the top off of some trades where we don't allow ourselves to enter when RSI is really, really high? And other versions of this that I might test after this might be testing 65 versus 70, 70 versus 80, 80 versus 95, right? Maybe testing something else like CCI or some other indicator to see if that improves the performance of it. So again, in test number C, we sold short put spreads, but we only sold them when the symbol was above its 200-day moving average, so implementing the trend filter. and only sold them when RSI was below 70. Now, that could have been below 70 and on its way up to 70. We didn't test like the trajectory of RSI. We just want to make sure, hey, if RSI is not too high, we don't have these super, super overbought readings on RSI, then okay, we'll go ahead and enter a new strategy. So here's how strategy C did. Again, you can see all this on the show notes page. If you're already cheating and watching this over there, you already know the answer to this. But strategy number C, the return on capital went from 63.3% with the trend filter to 74.3%. So big improvement there. CAGR went from 3.1 to 3.5. Drawdown went from negative 24.1 to negative 22.9. So again, another really nice improvement in the max drawdown, which confirms our suspicions and logically makes sense that if you don't sell put spreads right before the market takes a little tank or a little retracement or pullback, you probably improve the performance of the strategy. The profit factor went up, the Sharpe ratio went down just a little bit, and then the other metrics kind of fell in line and split. So it did look like it improved performance across the board. Positions, you saw 188 total positions. So not too many positions were cut off the top of the original trend trading strategy. The original trend filter version of this backtest traded 191 positions. So when you added this little filter for RSI, it only cut the position number down to 188. So you still ended up trading mostly the same positions across the board. You can visually see this on the chart too, where the difference between B, which is in blue on the performance graph, and C, which is in orange, it's not that big of a difference. The differences are not huge. They magnify as you get across more time, but they're not too big across, you know, most of the testing period. And you saw a 91.5% win rate, which means that you did see an improvement in your win rate. You cut down on some losers and you improved some of the winners that you had. So this was a really good one. I hope, again, if nothing else, before we go to the next test and testing the call spread side, what you see here when you even just visually see it on the show notes page or hear us talk about it here as I'm doing this podcast is the progression of testing that you could and should do in your back testing with your strategies is test a core idea and then start to make improvements to that and then test another core idea and start to make improvements to that. And it's this progressive testing methodology that I think works where you're making small tweaks and changes to see if this is improving it across the board with different indicators in different settings, but then also the pervasiveness across different tests that you were doing in other symbols. Okay, let's go now and look at how this did for short call spreads. So flip completely around and let's look at the same exact concept, but applied in the inverse for short call spreads in S&P. So strategy A on the show notes page, which is the green line, was consistently and religiously testing short call spreads. You can see that basically the portfolio blew up about 2022. It just didn't have any more capital left to actually implement any trades. So in the case of strategy A, it had a negative 88.3% return on capital. The maximum drawdown was negative 92.3%. Again, if you consistently and religiously sold short call spreads in the face of what was mostly a raging bull market for the vast majority of this testing period, you did not do well. You actually held your own for most of the time period. 2008, 2009 really helped you. And you stayed above water until it's about 2014. Then you started to drift. And then 2019, 2020, you really got underwater. And then you just, the portfolio blew itself up for that one. So you really didn't have much across the board. Profit factor, 0.72% or 0.72, which makes total sense that you didn't make any money. You were trading dollars for 75 cents. And it just really wasn't making any money across the board. You just really weren't seeing anything. Total wins or total positions you traded was 193 positions. Win rate was still pretty decent high, probably because you were taking profits off, and that was 74.6%. So either way, it doesn't matter. The win rate was still really good. That's why you can't look at win rate as one individual factor here, because the portfolio for non-trend, nothing, just consistently selling short call spreads in the S&P blew itself up. Okay, now we look at the addition of a trend filter. In the case of the addition of a trend filter, you saved yourself. I mean, you saved yourself big time here. You had lots and lots and lots of periods where the trend filter did not make a trade. You went from, in some cases, like the beginning of 2013, until it looks like almost the end of 2014, probably one of the longest stretches, you didn't make a trade. So the trend filter kept you out of selling short call spreads in the face of really raging bull markets, which is exactly what you would expect it to do, is not let you sell short call spreads when the market is high. And so when you look at the performance of the trend filtered strategy, it was wildly different. The return on capital was negative 2.8. The CAGR was 0.2. The max drawdown was 53.8. Basically, the strategy not only didn't blow itself up, but it kept itself at par, basically. So it did go through a pretty wild drawdown around the 2020 period. It went through a pretty wild drawdown, but it kept itself above water, or like basically at par over that entire period, which is pretty, I would say, pretty impressive for a call selling strategy in the face of, again, pretty wild and aggressively bull markets across the board. You look at the profit factor, it was 0.98. So you were so close on trading a dollar for a dollar there, but you were still trading a dollar for 98 cents essentially. And your Sharpe ratio was actually positive. So that was helpful instead of negative. And so that, again, is showing that adding that trend filter to this particular strategy did improve its performance. You had significantly less trades, about 100 less trades, which again makes sense. You had 93 trades at a 79.6% win rate. So you improved your win rate. You traded less, but ultimately it ended up being a better strategy because you did not go through some of those significant big drawdowns. So it helped, okay? Now, the last thing that we did here, of course, was we said, okay, like let's take the same logic and methodology. And this is how I did it as I was testing these and building these out for you guys here on this podcast. I said, okay, well, it worked on short put spreads. So can we do the same thing in reverse where we are going to sell in test number C, the test variation C, was we're still going to sell short call spreads, still only sell them when the symbol's price is below the 200-day moving average. But now we're also going to implement another RSI filter to only sell if RSI is above 30. Now, this one's tough. You could probably, and I would probably test different variations of RSI being above maybe, I don't know, maybe even above 50 or above 70 or something like that. But what I was trying to do in reverse or inverse of the last one is prevent the backtest from entering positions when RSI was below 30. So if RSI was really, really low, not that it couldn't keep going low, but if RSI was really low, there was more of a chance, I thought, that the market would reverse and then move higher. And so if I'm selling short call spreads, which is a bearish strategy, I don't want the market to reverse and start going against my short call spread position. So my thought here was, okay, sell short call spreads when the symbol price is below the 200-day moving average. That worked out better than just selling them all the time. And now implement a very small RSI filter to see if that would improve if selling when RSI was below 30, if that did anything to the strategy. So here's the results. The results were that you basically did one less trade. That was really the end of the day. It just, however, worked out. You did one less trade. But that one less trade improved the performance of the strategy. So your return on capital went from -2.8 to 0.7. Your CAGR was flat. Your maximum drawdown went from -53.8 with the trend filter to -48.8. And your profit factor went from 0.98 to 0.996. So you were almost exactly par on the positions. The only difference was your one trade that you apparently avoided. Now, that one trade did reduce the worst loss. And you can see this on the stats that we posted on the show notes page, optionalpha.com/show226. You can see this. The worst loss for both A and B strategies was $1,332. When you included this RSI filter, your worst loss was -$786. So that's probably where this loss came from, was that position right there. That one worst losing trade was probably entered when the market had RSI really low. And as a result, that position went right against us because the market probably turned around at that point and started going back up the other direction. So it is, again, confirmation that, and probably I wouldn't definitely say it's statistically significant, right? Because it's just one trade, but it does kind of sort of not only just make logical sense why you would include a filter like that, But that you would start to curb some of those potential trades that were really, really bad trades entered right before the market started to turn around. So I think that was super interesting. Again, is this the end all be all for how you should test or how you should run your strategies? Of course not. And I know I'm going to get people who email in and who write in and haven't listened to this part of the podcast, and they're going to say, so you're saying that we should do it? No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying you should use this as a framework to test different variations and to keep going on this, to test, all right, well, what would happen if I maybe swapped it for CCI? What if I changed all of these to a 50-day moving average instead of a 200-day or a 100-day? What if I did, it's got to be below the 200-day and above the 30-day moving? I don't know. There's a lot of different testing variations that you can do in here, but I hope, if nothing else, you got out of this, just this idea of just incrementally testing these different little tweaks and variables, and then testing the pervasiveness of them across different symbols as you go. Okay, so at the end of all of this, really, where do we find ourselves and what's our assumption here about trend trading strategies for these directional option selling strategies? Is adding a trend filter helpful or hurtful in your trading? Now, I would say the broad strokes of even just these ones that we have here, I would say there's some validity to adding a trend filter. Definitely on the short put spread side, maybe less so on the short call spread side, that we did see improvements in drawdowns, etc. I think that it's something worth exploring for your particular bots and strategies that you're running, is adding a trend strategy, something that you think would not only just improve the consistency of it, but maybe would improve just the actual day-to-day of living through those P&L curves and those P&L drawdowns that, you know, sometimes people don't think about when you run a backtest, but you got to live through all those days, all those weeks, all those trades. And so living through those and asking yourself, could I really go through a 50, 60% drawdown, or do I really want to go through a, you know, 20 or 30% drawdown, maybe for less overall return, but it's a better P&L curve to live through. I can live through that. I can handle that. I can withstand that psychologically better than something else. So I think the end all be all for this one right now is, I think that the trend, we know for sure in other research that's out there that the trend is your friend and can help improve the performance of strategies when it comes to directional option selling strategies. On the put spread side, we've seen definitely some research to suggest that it is helpful. On the call spread side, maybe it's a little bit more hit and miss, but it's something to continue to tweak and adjust as you move forward. As always, I hope you guys really enjoy these podcasts, doing some of these. We get a lot of feedback. People love doing backtesting podcasts, but I'd love to hear from you, see what you guys think. If you like this or like something else or have different ideas, let me know. Shoot us an email at team@optionalpha, post in the community. Let us know exactly what you think about some of these shows and what other shows we can do to help improve you as a trader and help give you more knowledge and more tools and more power to do what you want to do with trading. So as always, you can find everything that we have linked up here, information on the backtester, the backtest that we ran today, heading over to optionalpha.com/show226. Again, that's just the number 226, optionalpha.com/show226.
Thanks for listening to the Option Alpha podcast. If you liked what you heard, please drop by iTunes and leave a rating or comment. Plus, you can get everything. Free email updates for future shows, transcripts, video tutorials, case studies, and more. Just visit our website at optionalpha.com.
All right, that's a wrap for this week's podcast episode here at Option Alpha. But before you go, here's what we've been up to. We just released a brand new version of the platform. Lots of stuff got included in this latest release of the platform. Our dev team literally killed it. Added a lot of functionality and features that everyone has been asking for. Improvements to smart pricing to help control slippage and include bid-ask spread guards, which are super fun. Also, we've included additional items in our exit options, which are 1-minute exit options that can manage positions for you every 1 minute. We included trailing stops, which a lot of cool functionality included with those trailing stops, and only targets and limits, but also minimum capitals, returns, drawdowns from the top, etc. It's really, really fun stuff that we've added. Whole new, brand new automation editor that's a lot more intuitive. New actions inside the automation editor, like updating your smart pricing as you go, or updating your exit options as you go, as well as brand new filters for the trade ideas, including filters for probability of profit, probability of max loss, probability of max profit, etc. It's all the stuff that everyone's been asking for. So we continue to pour our heart and soul and everything into this platform for you all. So please check it out. Head on over to the blog at optionalpha.com/blog to learn more about some of the new updates. If you're already in there, you've already seen them. If you're not in there, go ahead and jump into the platform, start your free trial over at optionalpha.com/start. And again, remember, we've got a great special promo going on with our partners at TradeAir right now, which means if you connect your trading account to Option Alpha and your TradeAir trading account gets connected, you get automatically upgraded to our highest level, which is Pro Plus. Just have to connect a qualifying account and you're good to go. It happens automatically, which means you can trade at Option Alpha for free, and you also get commission-free trading through TradeAir. It's a great deal for any new traders or even experienced traders. Save a lot of money and get auto trading completely free. All you gotta do is connect your TradeAir account and you're good to go inside of Option Alpha. So more details on the blog and our pricing page and integration page if you have questions on that. As always, I truly hope you guys enjoyed today's show. Got at least one thing out of it that you can apply right now to help you consistently place smarter trades. And until next time, happy trading.